Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Mood Control. Saying you might as well pay attention if you can't afford free speech. Mood Control is designed to render funkable ideas brought to you by the makers of Mr. Prolong, better known as Urge Overkill, the pimping of the flesh principle.
Oh, but we'll be pecking lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache. Because it's cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention. You dig? A pack of bucks! And lo and behold, one funking with Mood Control.
Epic kind of beer.
Deprogram. Lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache.
When you take an epic kind of beer,
the non-profit organization.
Epic kind of beer. Oh. When you get your phone,
when you get that phone
call.
Name that feeling. Would you trade your phone for what's behind the third door? I win, tell you lose. How do you spell release? Huckleberry sucker.
When you take this epic kind of pill,
think of the headaches in the
head.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's your hostess with the mostest. It's Mr. Gary Richardson, and you are joining me live on Our Diversity Works, the hottest blog talk radio show on the planet. I just want to say hello to our visitors, those who are new to the show, and for those who are regulars, hello once again. I just came back on my spaceship. For those of you who have never heard that music before, that's actually my theme music from my spaceship that I use when I come back into orbit. And I just came back from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, way up north with our brethren and sister, and way up there in the cold area. They already have snow up there. So I was happy when I landed back here in warm, sunny Florida. It's about a 70-degree temperature change between being up there and being here. So you all know that I'm the man who talks diversity. That's the reason for this platform and this show that we have tonight. If you haven't had the opportunity, for those of you who are just joining, if you're new to the show and you have not heard me yet, I published a book last year called Beyond Demographics, The Truth About Diversity. And in that book, I try to explain to people what diversity actually is. The title itself is kind of self-explanatory. See, in my opinion, from traveling all over the world and actually seeing diversity at hand, diversity is much, much more than a collection of demographic traits like race, ethnicity, gender, and all of that stuff. Anybody who's ever heard me speak, you know that I emphasize that every day, and I try to get organizations and companies to understand that it's about performance. How do you get the best out of a unique group of people who have different backgrounds, different characteristics, different life experiences for the betterment, if you will, of your organization? And truly, that's what diversity is about. However, there happens to be a time in my life when I can slow things down, and that's right now. I retired just a few months ago, and I can tell you right now, retirement is something that you also have to plan on, because I spent my days now, I think I probably cut the same blade of grass probably 10 times already. I used to always wonder why it was always that elderly couple on the block that had the best looking yard. Now I know why. They have all day to watch the grass grow. But in that time, And being separated from the workforce, now I am able to slow things down and kind of really see examples of diversity and how it actually works to help an organization, to help a company meet their bottom line, which is performance. and prophets. This show here tonight is dedicated to some of those examples. So I got to start off with a little monologue. I got to tell you all a little story about my day, which brings us to this particular show tonight. So a couple weeks ago, I'm out looking for furniture for my house. So I happened to go to a couple of local furniture stores around the area, and I was going to say the name of this one particular store that I went in because the experience wasn't good, but then I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do, I am going to definitely mention those stores and those businesses that I went in that treated me like a king and got my business. So to keep rolling with this, so I go into the first furniture store, and as I'm walking in, there's a couple going in front of me. They happen to be an older white couple. Don't you all be afraid. You all know that's on this radio show. You know that I'm open and honest, and we talk race and diversity and all that kind of stuff here. So don't turn the dial off yet. But anyway, we go in the store together. So it's me and an elderly white couple that goes into the store. There's five salespeople up front in the front of the store. Not one of them would even give me eye contact. Not one of them said hello. Not one of them walked up to me and said, can I help you? They all rushed to get this one couple. So as I'm standing there in this odd silence, I hear another salesman come from the back, and he asks a sales lady who was sitting down in a chair up near the front door if she was going to take me as her customer. She looked at me and said no, and just sat there in the chair. So I continued to walk through the store, and I'm steaming right about now. But this is not something that's new to me, because this is kind of your life sometimes when you happen to be a person of color. That's just the way it is, although it does not always make you happy. So he finally catches up to me, and he introduced himself and asked me, could he help me with anything? And I said, no, I'm just going to look. And I looked in the store, didn't see anything, so I proceeded out the door. As I leave out the door, there's a younger white couple that comes in, and this same lady immediately springs from her chair and runs to the door to greet them. It was only at that time that she paid me any attention. She saw me getting into my car, and for a second, she forgot that she was helping someone. So you figure that one out. It didn't go well anyway, because I didn't buy anything from them, so I left the store. So now I'm on my drive, and I'm thinking, like, okay, where am I going to go now to find what I'm looking for? I'm upset. Maybe I should just go home and do it again the next day. So now I decided I'm going to go out to Boca. So I go to Boca, and I see a store, Modani, M-O-D-A-N-Y. Look it up online. I've purchased stuff from them more than once. But there's a new store that just opened in Boca Raton. So I said, hey, let me go check this out. So I pull in the driveway, back my car in, get out of the car, walk up to the door, and immediately, as soon as the door opened, this young gentleman, and I have to put his name out there, Matthew, if you're out there, I'm giving you a shout-out. Young gentleman by the name of Matthew jumps up to his feet, greets me at the door. How are you doing? Welcome to Modani. How can I help you? I said, hey, listen, I'm looking for a couple of chairs for a seating area, showed him a picture of what I wanted chairs for. He said, okay, let me show you what we have. Took me around the store. He said, you know, this mustard color chair right here is nice. I looked at the chair. It was a really nice chair, but it just didn't sell me right away. So then he says, hey, I got two chairs in the back. Let me show you these. He walks me to the back, shows me two gorgeous chairs. I bought them on the spot. He actually took one of the chairs, loaded it in the car for me, and everybody knows I got these knee replacements, so my knees don't move well anymore. Loads the chair in the car, tells me, hey, I'll call you when the other chair comes in, and we'll make sure you get it. His boss was also there by the name of Shane, a lovely lady. They just treated me like I was a king. No questions asked. I felt like I was a value customer. Left there, and I travel down the road a little ways to Del Rey. To the left of me, I see an art gallery. Now, I love art, but this particular day, I wasn't going to buy any art. I just wanted to go and be nosy and look because the gallery looked cool. So I spin around, park my car, go into the Heart of Del Rey Art Gallery. As soon as I walk in the door, this young lady comes out, and I call her young because that's just how I feel about her. She walks up, she greets me at the door, welcomes me to the gallery, and asks me, have I ever been there before? Nope, never been here before. I ask her, could I use the restroom? She says, yes, go in the back, and while you're back there, check out everything we got in the back. And when you get finished, come on up, let's have a conversation. I walked around the building, gorgeous, gorgeous art gallery. You all have to go see it. It's called the Heart of Del Rey. If I got it wrong, she'll correct me in a minute. The Heart of Del Rey Gallery right there in Del Rey Beach. Walked around the gallery, saw a piece of art that I fell in love with. Began to talk to her and tell her, hey, listen, you know, I'm just starting out in the art game. I want to start collecting and stuff like that. What do you think? She talked to me about the piece, gave me a little lesson, and then her and I had a long conversation just about art and about life and everything to the point where I felt so comfortable. I asked her if I could have one of the artists commission a piece for me. She walked me through it. She bought samples over to my house, looked in to see where the piece was going to hang the whole nine. So I tell you all this long story to get to this point. I assume that they were all the same race. By their appearances, skin color, they were certainly all the same color. But I had two different results. And this is why my book was titled Beyond Demographics, because it was not their skin, it was not their race that performed that day. It was their life experience. It was the way they understood business and the way they treated me, someone who looked differently from them, to get to a desired outcome, which is a sale. There was something else they got that day. They got customer loyalty. And, folks, this is what I try to explain to you, that diversity is much more than just collecting a group of people who look different, who may have a different gender, who may have different physical characteristics. It's not about that. Those things don't perform. It's the life experience and the understanding of people and how business works. It's about treating people like valued customers, okay? So that's why tonight I was so impressed by the treatment that I received and then the relationship that I happened to form with these great salespeople, and now I can say my friends, that I had to bring them on the show as examples of diversity and why I keep pushing and keep pushing and keep teaching and keep teaching that we got to push the envelope, folks. It's not appearances. It's not about counting heads. It's about making those heads count. So tonight I have with me two of my favorite people in the world right now. They are on my top shelf. It's kind of like that good wine that you keep on the back for visitors. That's where they are on my friendship shelf. They're on the back shelf. And first, I want to introduce the first young lady, and I call them young ladies because I adore them. I just like to pinch their cheeks and give them hugs when I see them because they're just so friendly and just so lovable. But first, tonight I'm going to introduce you all to Miss Joyce Matera.
Now, hi,
Joyce,
Gary. How are you?
How are you? I'm just
going to
read a little bit and tell people a little bit about who you are, and then I'm going to ask you a couple questions and get you all warmed up. So I got to tell the folks who you are a little bit. So
okay. For
the last 30 to 40 years, okay, Joyce has been an activist, and she's been a gay rights activist, and she was actually in New York City throughout the 70s, 80s, and the 90s working with several human rights campaigns during the AIDS crisis. For those of you who've been around long enough, you remember the AIDS epidemic back during those times. Well, Joyce was one of the leaders, one of the champions and soldiers out there fighting for the cause. She was helping her brothers and sisters die with dignity when no one in the political arena was stepping up to take the challenge. Joyce stepped in and helped that cause. Today, she is one of the co-founders and a board member of Lambda North. That's actually Lambda North, I'm sorry, which is a 12-step clubhouse for the LGBT community located in Lake Worth, Florida. She's also a member of NALGAP, that's N-A-L-G-A-P, the National Association of Lesbian and Gay Addiction Professionals, and she is a member of COMPASS, the local LGBTQ community center that's right here in Palm Beach County. Joyce has also, she's also a certified recovery coach and trainer. In the last 5 years, she's been working with the behavioral health industry, with her main focus is about bringing awareness and education to the healthcare providers of the plight of the LGBT community who are drastically underserved within the treatment industry. So without further ado, I want you all to meet my guest tonight, my first guest, Joyce Matera. Joyce, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. That was such a welcoming. I am fine. I am great. I am blessed beyond words, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule tonight to be here with us on the show. But after I got a chance to meet you through my dear friend who will be up next, I was really impressed with the work that you do out there helping our youth that are out there struggling with some addictions and different types of things. So I just want you to tell the audience a little bit about the work that you do so they'll understand how important this is.
Yes. Well, right now, as a lot of people know, that we're in an opioid crisis in this country. And I've been watching our young adults get caught up in the opioid crisis. So what we try to do is help them love themselves as who they are. And have a healthy life in sobriety, that you don't have to do drugs to mask your traumas, feelings, that you could be exactly who you want to be. And in our environments, and that's what we try to do at Inspire Recovery and at Lambda as well. So what I do in the community is a lot of peer connections, getting these younger to, really be with their peers in recovery.
Okay, good, good. Now, Joyce, let me ask you, do you find that there is a certain area or background or region that these young adults come from when they come to the community centers or anything like that, or is it just they're from every walk of life and from all over the country?
It's really every walk of life from every corner of the country. They come from suburbia. They come from these little towns. A lot of these young adults are misunderstood, with the media being the way it is. They're not connecting with real life. So start to, hide their feelings and bury their feelings with drugs. So they all walks of life, all walks of this country.
Okay, so no particular, race, color, creed, economic status, they're from everywhere.
From everywhere, there's no, economic status with a lot of these young adults. They are, just lost and doing drugs to cover up. Feel important. It gives you that false sense, of appearance. So what we try to do is teach them, how to have some fun in recovery, how to connect with peers, how life skills.
Yeah.
Communicate.
Now, let me ask you, Joyce, what are the age ranges of some of the kids that come there? Is there a minimum age? Is there a maximum age for the kids attending?
Well, most of them are young adults between the ages, I want to say, from 18 to 30, 28, to 30. A lot of them are older adults, 35. So it ranges, usually is about 18 on up. So it's a
wow.
huge variation of age.
I would suspect that that may make it where you really have to be flexible in the way you approach things because of the different age ranges and the different, you know, issues they may face at a particular age where, you know, an 18-year-old is probably going to have different issues than someone who is in their 30s.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct?
Everybody is an
okay.
individual, so we look at everybody
yeah.
as that person. We don't judge.
Okay.
We don't judge their backgrounds. We don't judge how they live their lives. It's about helping them achieve their goals and showing them how to set goals, how to be focused, how to have a purposeful, fulfilling life.
Okay. And can you tell us, the audience, just in case, you know, someone out there needs to make a referral or someone needs to go there themselves, where these locations are around the state of Florida?
Well, there's a multitude of treatment centers around the state of Florida, but Inspire Recovery is inclusive of the LGBTQ plus community. So
okay.
call Inspire Recovery. We're located in West Palm Beach, Florida, and also the communities of Lambda North is 18 South J Street in Lake Worth. Compass is on
okay.
Dixon Way. So there's a lot of community centers around.
Okay. And if someone needed to get in touch with you or they wanted to have a private conversation with you, because I being in law enforcement and coming across, you know, kids and adults who are facing these issues, a lot of times they want to keep these things private because they may be just coming out for the first time. And if they wanted to get in touch with you, for some help or for a referral, how could they get in touch with you?
Well, absolutely. My phone number is 914-774-8536, or my email is j.matera, M-A-T-E-R-A, @inspirerecovery.com.
All right, fantastic. And, you know, can you tell us are you aware of any, like, success stories of the kids and young adults that come there? Do you get a chance to see them from start to finish, you know, when they come there in one state and then when they maybe go off and be successful? Have you had any of those encounters?
Oh, absolutely. There's a multitude of success stories. We
wow.
stay in touch with all of our clients after they graduate our program. We do days, 60-day, 90-day calls. We call them a year out to make sure they're still staying focused and in recovery and see how they're doing. We have a multitude of success stories,
wow.
Which I absolutely love. We support them. We go to their graduations. We go to their jobs if we're welcome there. Yeah, we stay in touch with all of our alumni. I think that's important.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They could always call us and just chat. A lot of them, you know, go on to doing service in the community, which is wonderful, landing jobs in our community and becoming very successful. So, yeah,
great.
We great history of success.
Well, as I promised, I told you I was going to stop by and visit you one day, so I'm going to make sure that that happens here very soon now that I'm back in the States, all right? So we're definitely going to get together, and I'm going to come up and take a visit up at the facilities with you.
Please do. We welcome you and love to introduce you to all of our staff.
Thank you, thank you. And see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I have this platform. You listen to Our Diversity Works on Blog Talk Radio, Gumbo for the Soul. It's about performance. It's about helping the world become a better place. I'm sure everybody gets a chance to hear all of the negativity on the news and through social media and all of that stuff, but I try to offer some positivity. And this is why I had people like Joyce on the show tonight, because she's out there being a gladiator, getting these kids off the street when their families turn them away, or when they decide that they can't function in society because society has rejected them for whatever reason. Joyce is out there putting in that time, doing the work. That's what diversity is all about. It's about getting those talents out of those kids regardless of what they're going through. So, Joyce, I applaud you for that. And this is why I had to have you come on the show, and you definitely will have some support from me. That's for sure.
Thank you so much, Gary, and thank you for having me on your show.
You're quite welcome. So hang in there with us for a second, because next I have to introduce the audience to the person who actually made our introduction happen. Mrs. Michelle, or I should not say Mrs. yet, maybe one day, but Miss Michelle Cancurl. I can call her now. I'm going to just call her my friend. Michelle is the person who made the introduction for me and Joyce happen. And I'll just tell you, just to give you a little bit of her background. So she spent 20 years working in the art industry. She's done everything from managing art galleries to starting art galleries. She's worked as a sales consultant. She's basically done it all. Prior to that, she spent 12 years in retail management. And let me tell you, she's great at her job because she knows what she's doing. She was managing all of us. There was customers coming in and out, and she was making sure she gave all of us FaceTime. So she can really manage a place for you. And, you know, she's also an artist herself. She sells art. She creates art. She does not mind selling other people's art. In fact, that's the end all for her. She loves to make others happy doing that. And I'm going to give you her motto because I really like this when I saw this about you, Michelle. So I have to put you on the spot for a second. So, Michelle, this is her motto when it comes to art, ladies and gentlemen. She says, so whether it's something that you bought, whether it's something that you printed off, whether it's a photo of your child, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, it helps to define you. Art defines a home one way or another. My job is to help you find the pieces that make you say, I am so glad I did that. And, Michelle, I can say so far, I haven't got my piece yet, but when I get it, I know I'm going to say, I'm so glad that I did that. So without further ado, Miss Michelle Cancurl. Michelle, welcome to the show tonight. How are you?
I'm good, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Trying to adjust to this warm weather from coming from Canada, where it was like, you know, 8-9 degrees, but I'm okay. I'm sweating right now, but that's because I'm walking around in my little makeshift studio here, and I'm so happy that you all are able to join me tonight. So, Michelle, just tell us a little bit about the Heart of Del Rey Art Gallery, because it's really a phenomenal place.
The Heart of Del Rey Art Gallery is an absolute anomaly in the world of artwork, to be really honest with you, because there's a lot of really great galleries in the world. There's a lot of great galleries in Florida, but this is such a phenomenal place because it's a combination of gallery and collaboration of art studios, and you're not going to find anything like this. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. You'll find artist alleys and little places where they have a group of artists working together, but they're not really art galleries. They'll be like a bunch of art studios together, but there's not a gallery. It's just a couple of studios or that kind of thing. This is a full-blown gallery, 14,000 square feet if you include our Zen gallery, our Zen garden, excuse me. And we also have approximately, I think, 16 or 17 studios for those particular artists. We have about 80 artists who have their work in the gallery, but then, like I said, we also have these 16 studios. I think that's about right. And those people work in the gallery most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. So if you come into the gallery, the first thing you do is you look around and you see this beautiful, really well laid out gallery with, you know, bronze and glass and paintings and photographs. But then as you meander through, you'll, you know, go past these places where somebody's actually there producing artwork. So
yes,
you get to see people in action doing what they do best, and you don't, there isn't any place else that I've ever been that has that combination of things. And the thing that I like the most about our artists is the ones that all work there are very supportive of each other. So
yes,
if has a if somebody is working on something and has a question on how to do a certain technique, or they're trying to make something happen, if they ask anybody else in the gallery, they'll get a positive response. These artists are not like competitive with each other. They're very supportive. They give each other ideas. They swap paint. They collaborate. I've collaborated with more than one artist on artwork. You know, it's just such a positive atmosphere, and everybody's growing. There's a lot of there's a lot of artists that have been in the business for a long time but haven't had the right marketing, and there's a lot of emerging artists who are trying to find their pace.
Yeah.
And that again is one of the things that makes it so, you know, cool. And for me, being in the business for as long as I have been, and being able to go to those younger artists, or and even some of the older ones that haven't been in the business long enough, you know, they ask me a lot of questions, and I do everything I can to give them the right answer to help them go in the direction that's best for them, what's their strongest suit when they, you know, create whatever they create, whatever, whether that's, you know, painting or sculpture or whatever.
Right, right. And I can tell you, I can attest to everything that you're saying, because I'm a complete novice when it comes to going to art galleries and stuff like that. But I can tell you, when I walked in, I was not only amazed with the facility. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you're not into art, I would suggest that you go there anyway. It's one of the coolest places that you can go and hang out. And in fact, the picture that you all see on the flyer with all three of us standing together, Michelle, tell everyone about that picture. What was going on that night at the gallery that allowed us to take that picture together?
We, every first Friday of every month, we have an art walk. And what that is normally we close at 6 o'clock every day, except for Saturdays we close at 5. But on the first Friday of every month, we have art walk, and we're open from 6 to 9 p.m., and it's a good time for those people that work during the week that can't get to come see us, that can come out and check out the gallery, see what's going on. You know, we have wine. Sometimes we have different events going on, something, you know, different happenings. When you were there, we had the radio station, because we have a radio station that's connected to our gallery that was promoting our artists. But the best thing, the coolest thing is a lot of times during the week, if you come in at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, maybe you might find a couple of our artists there, maybe you might find 6 or 7, but on Art Walk, you might find 20 or 25 of our artists there.
Yes.
So it's a really good time to come in and meet the artists and, you know, see what's new and exciting by all the different artists, and just kind of, you know, hang out and mingle and have a good time.
Yeah, it was really fun. It didn't necessarily even feel like it was for the purpose of art, so to speak. It felt like, you know, a social, an icebreaker or something. And the facility outside, waterfall in the back, you all really need to see it. How many people do you say were there that night? I mean, it was a ton of people. When you invited me, I thought maybe it was going to be 25, 30 people. And I get there, I couldn't even find a place to park. How many people do you think were there that night?
I think we had somewhere between 125 and 150. And that was the beginning of September, where we're still in our off season. Back in the spring, when we were in season, there were times when people had to be turned away for a little while because there were so many people in the gallery.
Wow.
So But for the beginning of September, and that's, mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a good time for people to walk around. And with the artists there, it's a good time if you just want to learn something or you want to kind of get a feel of what you might be interested in or just kind of see what it's all about. The artists are all there to talk to everybody, and it's all there for an open forum. So it's just, you know, it's a great time to just, like, you know, like you did, come hang out and talk and just, you know, chill.
It was really a pleasant evening. I really enjoyed myself. And you all, the audience, you all are listening to this show, and you might be wondering, okay, this is an eclectic group of guests. You have someone here who's helping the LGBT community, and then you have someone here from an art gallery. Well, that's how diversity works. It's about taking those unique talents that we all possess and bringing them to our environment, into our organizations, to make them the best that they could possibly be. And in both cases, okay, through Michelle. So when I came into the art gallery, I met Michelle. And Michelle and I, you know, we talked like we've known each other for years. Now, I wasn't even there, and I don't know if I told her this or not. I probably had, but I wasn't even there to buy any art that day. I just came in to be nosy. I wanted to look. But it was the way you treated me and the interest that you showed about answering my questions and making me feel comfortable that I commissioned a piece of art. And, okay, we all say it's not all about the money, but when you're in business, it's about the money, okay? The piece that I was going to buy was a lot less than the piece that I had commissioned. Now, why is that important? Because if it were not for Michelle and Michelle's life experience and the way Michelle sees life, okay, she would not have been able to treat me the way she treated me, and she would not have gotten a sale that day. Now, if she got business from me, Michelle doesn't know how many people I know. She doesn't know who I know. She doesn't know what my circle is. But guess what? Now she's introduced to that circle. Now she has a new market because of one person. That's how diversity works. Okay, when you want to tap into a new market, when you want to tap into untapped resources, you have to go out and find the right people that have the life experience, the right people that see the world from a different perspective and understand business. Same thing with Joyce. It had not been for Michelle, I would not have gotten a chance to meet Joyce. Now I have the opportunity to collaborate with Joyce and maybe even save a life. That's how important it is.
Right.
So this is why I stress we have to move beyond demographics. We have to start looking at what does Joyce bring to the table? What does Michelle bring to the table? What did Matthew and Shane out there at Modani bring to the table that made me a loyal customer? Okay? If I buy one time, that goes towards your profit. If I'm a loyal customer, though, that keeps your lights on. That's how you pay your overhead costs, because I'm going to continue to come back. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to market their organizations like I'm doing tonight to others. So these are examples of diversity. This is what paints the picture of diversity, not simply looking at people saying, oh, we got a room full of people who are different. That's being diverse. There's a big difference from being diverse and having diversity. And tonight on Our Diversity Works here on Blog Talk Radio / Gumbo for the Soul, this is why we have this platform. So I just want to go back now, and Joyce, I just want to ask you, you know, what was it about you that made you want to help people in the manner in which you're doing it right now?
What made me, because of my life experiences when I was a teenager and in my 20s, 30s in the corporate world, you know,
okay.
I came out as a gay woman in my late teens. And when I started working in the corporate world, you know, the bias and, you know, the harassment that I endured, you know, got me to voice And I wanted to have a voice for the younger adults so they didn't have to go through what I did. We opened up the doors, really, to make it easier for LGBT youth these days. You know, and, you know, it's been a struggle throughout the decade. But I think we're getting there, little by slowly, you know, as far as our gay rights are concerned. You know, so I didn't really want young people to experience some of the bullying and harassment that my generation experienced back in the early 70s and 80s.
So do you think that by you going through that period in your life, that it has allowed you to see others from a more level playing field, if you will?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I look at, you know, and I see these young adults that just want to be heard and just want to have that freedom of expression that they so deserve. Everyone deserves that. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to be seen and heard, and everybody wants to be free to express themselves as the woman that they want to be, as the man that they want to be. So, you know, that's why I do the work I do. It's to help them and guide them and show them that they do have a voice.
You know, and I have to go back, if you don't mind, the conversation you and I had at the gallery about you coming up in a man's industry, so to speak, working at car dealerships. That must have been a huge challenge for you every day.
Oh, it certainly was. I was a finance director for car dealerships and had a lot of salesmen, you know, directing them. And some of the remarks and you know, it was a challenge, especially there was hardly any women in the industry. So it was up for women back then. It was a challenge for me. I always needed to prove myself, you know, still underpaid, you know, because it was the man's world back then. You know, so you have to prove, you constantly prove yourself that your talents are worthy. And you know, I had to learn really quickly how to play in the good old boys club. So that was definitely a challenge. And again,
well,
it's getting better for women, but, you know, it's getting there, right?
Well, it's gotten better because we have people like you. Those who, you know, I would say, you know, not necessarily in a religious format, but that was your cross to bear. But I am thankful that you came out of it the way you have, because I love your spirit. I love what you do out there. You know, if my child was out on the street, I would have no problem with telling you to go pick him up, you know. And if you need to use a belt on him, you can use one of mine if you had to. I would not have a problem with having you do that for me because of what you've gone through. And, you know, Michelle, the same with you. I know we had a story, a conversation that you and I had on the phone the other day. If you'd like to take a few minutes, if you don't mind, I just want you to kind of talk about that, because that really made me think, you know, days after we had that discussion about when you were going to the prom, if you recall that.
Yeah, well, it was actually the walk first of going down the street to a friend of mine's house, which...
Yes.
I grew up with not this, you know, because... So my family was very open. You know, I've got... I'm third generation gay in my family, so I never really felt like I had to worry about that. I was raised with parents who were very open. You know, there was never any racial anything in the house. And one of my best buddies when I was in high school was this 6'4", 250 or 60 pound guy who was a football player. His name is Wes. And one night we're going down the street to visit another friend of ours, and it's, you know, 7:30 at night, it's starting to get dark, and, you know, we're about a mile from home, and we're going through an affluent neighborhood, but I'm with my buddy Wes, so, you know, I'm good, and this cop car pulls up next to us, and practically is up on the curb, and the cop says, hey, are you okay? And I'm looking at him like, yes. And he said, miss, you sure you're all right? And he must have asked me 2, 3, 4 times if I was sure I was really okay. And I actually think I stepped a little closer to my friend at the point because I didn't understand what the problem was. And
right.
He finally drove away. I looked at my buddy Wes, and I said, what was that all about? And he said, you're with me. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I'm with you, so why would I, you know, I should be, he should understand I'm fine.
Right.
Honey, you're a little white girl and I'm a big black guy in a white affluent neighborhood. And I looked at him and I still didn't really get it. And he said, honey, he thought that I was going to hurt you or something. And I thought, what the hell is wrong with this guy? I'm like, I couldn't be any safer in the world than with my buddy Wes.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
I wasn't seeing Wes as a black male. I was seeing Wes as my friend that I knew I was safe with.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I didn't see it in a different way. I just saw I didn't see him as anything other than my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point down the road, I was getting ready to go to homecoming, and I was going with just a friend, and it
right.
was some white boy that I knew from school that was one of my buddies, and my dad really didn't like the guy, and he said, man,
right.
I wish you would just go with Wes, and I was like, Dad, Wes's homecoming is like the same night, and he has a girlfriend. And he's like, yeah, but I just so much more than I like Matt, and I was, oh, well, you know, I get you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny now, you know, we can listen and talk about these things as adults and realize how those things affected our lives and kind of gave us a preview of what the world was like, especially once we leave our homes. But I can tell you that coming from my perspective, and I think I've explained this to all of you, I've been all over the world teaching diversity and equal opportunity. And for me, in the places that I go and the positions that I've held throughout my careers, I was always one of two, one of three, or one of none. So I became acutely aware of when people were uncomfortable around me. I could tell by a handshake. I could tell by body gestures, nonverbal, you know, movements, whether or not they would give me eye contact. I could tell all of those things because they were survival. Okay, they were survival skills for me. And when I met both of you, I did not feel like anything was different about us. We were just people who were just meeting for the first time and just enjoying each other's space. And from that, I think that we have, you know, gained a powerful connection. I'm certainly a customer now at Art Gallery. I'm certainly a fan of Joyce's, and I'm, you know, would love to support you in any way that I can. And this is really why I do what I do when it comes to diversity. I want people to understand that it's much more than characteristics. It's about using your skills, your life experiences, those unique things about you to get to a desired state, because diversity is a business concept. It's not a social concept. Many people think that it is, but if you think about it, when you leave work and you go home, you go to your social settings, most people tend to go into social settings that they have something in common with those people. Either they look the same, either they practice the same religion, their skin color, race is the same. It's usually homogenous, okay? Diversity is a workplace concept, and it's an active process, not a static state of being, meaning that once we get a comfortable number of gays, once we get a comfortable number of blacks, once we get a comfortable number of women, somehow we've attained diversity. No, you're simply diverse. And these are examples for the folks out there listening of what diversity is really all about. So if we have some leaders out there, some business owners, you need to talk to me, all right? Because I want to help you with your bottom line, which is performance. How do you get the best out of Michelle? How do you get the best out of Joyce? Well, you got to have a relationship and a conversation with these people to understand what they're bringing to the table. And tonight, as you can see, we have, you know, someone out there who's fighting for a cause, who's saving lives. I mean, that's just like being in law enforcement. You're saving lives just like I had to when I was, you know, a police officer. Michelle, you're opening, you know, doors to bring education about something that even for me being a novice, I was always interested in but just never took the opportunity. So that's what diversity is all about. And you are listening to Our Diversity Works tonight here with my two guests, Joyce and Michelle. These folks are going to be out in the Palm Beach area, in the Delray area, so please stop by the Heart of Delray Art Gallery. What's the address located there that the art gallery is located at, Michelle, for the folks?
1440 North Federal Highway, Delray Beach.
Okay. And then, Joyce, one more time, can you give us where the center's located in case someone wants to reach out to you?
Sure. Inspire Recovery is the name of our treatment facility. It's located 909 North Dixie Highway, West Palm Beach.
Fantastic. And also for the folks, Matthew and Shane, if you're out there listening, make sure you talk to your folks at corporate because I can help them to help you. They need more people like you out there that are going to have a loyal customer base, not just people that, you know, want to come in and look. That's fine if they want to look, okay? But send them down to Michelle if they just want to look. They want to go to the art gallery. Send them down there so they can just look. And then when they want to buy, then they'll come back down to you and buy the furniture from you all out there. But, you know, really, I am so fortunate to have been in a place and had these experiences that I've shared with the audience tonight and shared through the life experiences of Joyce and Michelle. I would say to you all, continue being the people that you are because we certainly need more positivity around the world today, and it's up to us as individuals to make that happen. We keep talking about society, but we make up society. So let's learn how to have some fun. Let's learn how to share with each other. And if you all have not gotten my book yet, go out and get Beyond Demographics, The Truth About Diversity. It's out on Amazon, and it's also in Barnes & Noble. It's doing very well. I am so happy with the results of the book. People are really emailing me and sending me text messages saying how much they've enjoyed it. I even had people have cited the book in works of their own through, you know, their college education and writing their own book stuff and stuff like that. So I am humbled and proud at the same time. But that's what this show is all about. And Joyce, you know, I'd like to start off with you again. If you had one thing you would like to tell, you know, a young adult or a teenager out there that's lost and trying to find their way, you know, with addiction and, you know, maybe going through transition and stuff like that, what nugget of wisdom would you offer them?
Well, I would tell them that they don't ever have to feel that way. They don't ever have to feel alone and isolated, that there is so many people that will reach their helping hand out, and that they're not alone at all. That's what I would tell them.
All right. And how can they, once again, how can they reach you if they wanted to reach out for a referral or just have someone to talk to?
Well, my phone number is 914 area code 774-8536. My phone is always on, as Michelle will tell you.
yes.
All right, fantastic. And Michelle, I know that the gallery has a website. Is that correct? I think I was out on it. Can you give that to the audience if you know it by chance?
Yes, it is www.theheartofdelraygallery.com.
That way they can go and take a look without even having to drive. So for those folks that are listening way up in Canada and other parts of the world, if you never get to Delray, if you never get out to Palm Beach, which you really should because it's beautiful out here, let me tell you. But if you ever come out here, make sure you stop by, say hello. You can always reach me at www.gary.rconsulting, with an ing on the end, at gmail.com. That's my email address. My website is www.rdiversityworks, and that's the letter R, diversity, and then works with an X on the end. rdiversityworks.com, that's my website. It's a one-stop. You can go in there and even listen to my previous radio shows right from my site. You can go in there and watch videos that I've done, keynote presentations around the world for different organizations. You can also send a request to talk to me if you would like to. You can always catch me 24/7 one way or the other. Email me through the website or give me a call. This is Our Diversity Works on Blog Talk Radio, and we're coming to a close tonight. And what I would like to say to the audience is we as a society really have to understand that we're only here on this earth for a limited amount of time. Anyone who knows me knows that I always say we have a limited number of heartbeats. And because we don't know when that last one is going to happen, we have to make each one of them count. At the end of the day, and I saw this from Stephen Covey, so I'm going to use it for a second because I think it's critical and it's very important to the conversation. So at the end of the day, when our time is up or when your time is up and it's time to have your funeral, what would you want the people to say about you? How would you want to be seen? What legacy? And let me tell you, whether you believe you have one, whether you want to have one, all of us have a legacy. All of us have a stamp here on this earth. How do you want that stamp? How do you want that book? How do you want that legacy to be read? What do you want people to remember you for? Because they're going to remember you one way or the other. And I want you to walk away, or I want you to go off tonight, you know, when you're by yourself. And I want you to ask yourself that question. And then I want you to answer it. Okay? Answer it. And if it's anything different than what you are or who you are right now, then guess what? Maybe you need to start working on it. Maybe you need to start working on it. Because if tomorrow was going to be your last day, or next week was going to be your last day, and you knew it, I guarantee you, most of us would probably do a whole lot of things a lot differently than what we're doing right now. So think about that tonight as we go away and we're in our travels and you're off, you know, living the rest of your life and enjoying the rest of the evening. I just want to say that I am thankful and happy that I got a chance to meet people like Joyce and Michelle and Shane and Matthew out there too as well, because I'm new to West Palm myself. I just moved here permanently just a couple months ago, and it's a good feeling to be able to meet new people that you can share your journey in life with. So I want to thank you all for being with us here tonight on Our Diversity Works at Blog Talk Radio /Gumbo for the Soul. And we're going to be back here next month. The show airs once a month. As soon as that flyer comes out, I promise I will shoot it out to you all so you get a chance to hear us again. We'll have another fabulous guest, or maybe like tonight we'll have a treat and have two fabulous guests on with us next month. So I want to say to you all, be safe, love your loved ones, follow your breadcrumbs wherever they lead you. Don't ask questions, just follow. We will see you back here next month, ready to have some fun. This is Our Diversity Works. I want to say good night to you all, and I love you. Peace.